Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to The Poisoner's Cabinet. I'm Sinead.
And I'm Nick.
And this is your weekly podcast exploring the lives of the great poisoners, macabre murders and captivating crimes from across the centuries, and creating curious cocktails inspired by the tales that we tell. And it's episode 192.
Ooh, it is.
And hello again, Nick.
Hello, I'm back. Hello.
You're alive.
It's me. I'm alive.
Yay.
Yes. Thank you to everyone who's sent lovely messages. Yes, I have been a bit poorly, but I'm well on the way to recovery. Thank you very much. So I'm back. Yes, raring to go. Well, actually, no, let's not go too far.
It was a horrible virus.
it was unpleasant. But yes, now I'm here. I've written something. It could be entirely insane.
Yay!
I've not actually read it back, so it's like... Ugh.
Started really writing it in a fever dream. And we're very glad to have you back. People missed you. We made do as best we could in the short period when you were away. We did release one of our Patreon episodes, one of our big Patreon episodes.
Oh, yeah, one of the happy ones you chose.
I did. You know what? I went for it. We did release the episode that we did on Jonestown, because people do ask us about Jonestown. It's one of the most famous modern poisoning cases. It deals with a cult. It's a heavy going. Mm. Heavy going. So I don't blame anyone if they want to skip that one, but those who are interested in it, it's fascinating. That is now available free on the main feed of the podcast. And we do lots more stories like that, but generally they're more happy. That's possibly the saddest one we've done.
Probably.
Is, yes. Everything else is up from there. So if you want a bleak, we try and find a few laughs. And then last week on Patreon, we also had my husband standing in for you.
Yes.
And everyone was delighted.
Indeed. Wouldn't be delighted about Mr. Ben?
Mr. Ben Shenanigans telling us stories about Napoleon's penis.
What's not to love?
Exactly. A lot, apparently.
Okay.
Yes, I now know more about his penis than I ever thought I needed to. So do you guys as well. Well, any poisonings this week, Nick?
Well, there was me.
Yeah.
There was me. Apart from me, I don't care.
You don't care?
It's not about me, I don't care.
I do love the stages you go through when you're ill. Because you're all like, oh, no, I'm okay at first. And you're like, oh, no, I'm sick. And then you feel sorry for yourself. Then you go stir crazy.
Yeah.
Then you get angry. And then you start saying, no, I'm fine. I can take care of myself. And then it sinks in of like, can you come round, please? I'm a bit lonely.
Can you come and talk to me? I haven't spoken to anyone for 3 days.
And I come round and you just glare at me like, oh, it's you again.
God, why are you here? Who asked you to come?
There's no one I can be disparaging towards in my house. Well, speaking of recovering from the brink of death.
It very much was the brink.
Yes, and still being disparaging to your friends. I think it is time for us to thank our delicious Patreon subscribers.
We should indeed. They are most marvellous. So thank you very much this week to Giovanni Bolvin.
Ooh. To Carrie Wells.
Rachel Bateson.
To Amanda M.
To Caillou.
To Emma Sawyer.
And to Noodles the Deaf White Cat.
Noodles. Noodles. Noodles can't hear us.
No, but there's a picture of Noodles.
Is there? Can we see a picture of Noodles?
It's a very small picture.
That's just words. Oh, you mean the profile picture? Yeah. Sorry, I was like, picture. That's not a picture, Nick. Noodles. Noodles, the deaf white cat, is very, very cute. Noodle, noodle, apple strudel. Song from Wonka, people. Lovely. People who just use normal names, who wanted credit for themselves. Where the bloody hell are your cat pictures? To be fair, all of our fans do send us lots and lots of cat pictures.
Not a lot of cat pictures.
I can't get enough of them. Thank you, thank you. You delicious, sexy Patreon subscribers. All of our Patreon subscribers. There are so many of you on there who are arsenic aficionados and also our cyanide connoisseurs. We love you deeply and we love the community that you guys have created on Patreon. It is a wonderful place to be. If you want to know what the hell we're talking about, please do consider supporting us on patreon.com/thepoisonouscabinet from but $5 a month for lots of extra poisonous cabinet cocktail-y goodness.
Marvellous.
Well, Nick, are you ready?
I hope so.
Big breath.
Big breath.
To drink cocktails and talk about poison. Or we could drink poison and talk about cocktails.
Yeah, no, I'm quite fancying a cocktail.
Yes, you need a wee drinky.
Yeah, we need a wee drink.
Let's go with the first one.
Okay.
Hooray, hooray, hooray. It is Nick's story this week, and we can't possibly have a story without a cocktail in hand. As you know, dear listeners, every week we choose a secret ingredient that is inspired by the tale that we tell, and it will flavour our cocktail of the week. Nick's story, so your pick. And the secret ingredient is...
An angel.
An angel.
An angel.
Can I also say... Very sorry if this was a genuine comment on Instagram when I put up a picture of an angel as the secret ingredient and someone commented, is Nick okay? No, he's been away. It's like, no, he's not with the angel. He's fine. He's very much fine. But that did make me laugh and also feel worried. Like, no, this wasn't
that
a sign.
That would be how you would announce it.
It would, exactly.
Yes, just the cocktail of the week is Nick's dead.
We thought this would be the easiest way to break it to you, but I'm sure they were joking. I know they were joking. Very funny. It made me laugh. But an angel. Ooh, lovely.
Mm.
There's all kinds of angels.
There are several.
We were talking about angels in your office today.
Were we?
Yes.
Oh, we were. Yes, of course we were.
Yes, one of your colleagues was just announced, do you people believe in angels? Yes. And we're like, well, I want to know where this is going.
That was a bizarre conversation, but yes.
Yes.
The random things you talk about in an office.
Yes, there's an angel watching over you if you have any kind of intuition.
No, there's not.
No, there's not. If there are feathers, if you see a feather, that means angels are nearby.
Yes, or birds.
Or birds. There's no such thing as a bird, Nick. They're all angels.
No
in
one's
the
ever
skies.
Heard of a bird.
Robin's angels with a sunburn. With angels as your ingredient, your inspiration, your guardian, if it were, what have you come up with?
Well, there's one that several people commented upon when this was announced. The Fallen Angel.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, sounds good. Like, look at that one.
Uh-huh.
We've already done it.
We've already done it. We have already done a Fallen Angel.
Yes, it was one of our Christmas triple cocktail things.
It was.
We did. Where I'm not surprised we don't remember it because we were completely wankered.
I think we did like four or something on that day.
So unfortunately, we're not having a Fallen Angel.
Yeah.
It was just quite exciting.
I think it was disappointing to my mind.
I have no recollection whatsoever.
I think I re-listened to the Christmas one because I sometimes go back and have to listen to that because I go, what the hell did we talk about? Because none of us remember.
Mm. So instead, we're not having that.
Okay.
We are having...
Yeah.
An angel's draft.
An angel's draft?
Yes.
What's that?
It's an angel's draft.
I think it is. Why are you saying it like that?
It is the sort of. When an angel goes behind you and the little hairs on the back of your neck go, ooh. And you catch a breeze and there's no breeze. There's no breeze. Oh, it must be an angel. Do you never get that?
Painted the picture there.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no wind here. There's no wind. Why is my hair rustling? There's no wind. Oh, it's an angel.
It's an angel passing by or ruffling with your hair.
Ruffling the hair.
Blowing in your ear.
Yeah.
I love the way you were like, the angel's behind you.
Yeah,
like,
behind
that's
you.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, absolutely. With a knife.
Or sexy.
Or sexy.
Ooh, what's that?
Well, it's an angel's penis in my ear. What's going on?
That's the angel's draft. Yeah, it's a breeze. Don't worry about it.
Just fanning you with my cock.
Well, I'm not sure about this drink now. I don't know what's going to happen in the kitchen. Okay.
No, it was so nice to begin with.
It was
lovely, and you ruined
it. You were the one who took it to this place.
You ruined it.
No one asked you to bring penises into this. Can we have one podcast without you bringing a penis into it?
Angel was floating by, causing a ripple in the air. It was lovely. I know, lots of hand movements going
on. There's lots of harp movements you're doing.
With an angel, playing the harp. So yeah, it's very dramatic. It's very lovely. Okay. And you ruined it with your penis talk.
I laid out the tools. You're the one who picked them up and started carving penises out of the rock. Well, with that in mind, I think it is high time for us to float into the poisonous cabinet kitchen and shake up a storm. So we'll see you in a minute.
We'll see you in a bit.
And we're back.
Hello.
So, Nick, the angel's draft. It was very pretty. It's got a foamy head. It's got a green hue to it. And there's a sprig.
There's a sprig.
A sprig of mint.
Delightful.
Oh, I love it. I mean, I hope it's mint. It could be a curry leaf.
Yes.
I'm hoping it isn't.
It could just be something out of a shrub I passed on the way home.
It could be, yeah. They were like, a garnish, screw
that'll
it.
That'll do.
Ooh, okay, minty. Possibly. I'm assuming. All right, okay. High hopes, because last ones, I think, actually did poison you. That might have been the thing that gave you tonsillitis. It was so bad. Yeah. All right, well, let's dive in. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
It's all right.
What is that? It's fine.
It's fine. It's perfectly fine. Is it exciting? No.
Well, I don't know.
It's perfectly fine.
Hmm. Yeah, it's quite pleasant. Yeah. It's not world-beating, but it's not disappointing.
Oh, not at all, no. No, if I got that in a bar, I would be more than happy to drink that.
Yes, you wouldn't fling it in the
bar.
I wouldn't go,
no, this is, or I wouldn't sit there and go,
meh. No, you would drink it.
Okay, that's a perfectly pleasant cocktail.
Yeah, I don't know what we were expecting then for us to go, oh my God, it's amazing. No, that's perfectly pleasant. It's got mint in it.
Yes.
Fresh mint.
Yes.
Muddled.
No, not yes.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yes. All right, okay. So
not specifically so, but in the mixing, yes.
Now, with the foamy head,
yes.
Either it's fairy liquid or an egg white.
I just not washed up my utensils very well.
Oh, God.
No, there is an egg white. Oh, some egg white.
Mouthfeel. Something white.
Some egg white.
Oh, I thought you said something white, and I was, Jesus. Okay.
Some egg white.
Mouthfeel. Yeah. And then booze of some kind. Mm. So how many boozes are in this?
Not many.
There's a citrus, though, isn't there?
There is a citrus. There's
lime?
I'll give you, yes, there's lime is the citrus.
Lime is the citrus, yeah. It's got a limey hue. Tastiness, yeah. Yes. All right. And then...
Two boozes.
I unfortunately know one of the boozes because I had to carry it home. Is it rum?
There is some rum.
There's some white rum. White rum. Okay, so we're in daiquiri territory. So with the rum and the lime.
Rum and the lime, and yes.
Yeah, but not with an egg white traditionally. Mint in there. So but what's the secret other one? So, is it Twiggy?
Yes.
Is it chartreuse?
Yes.
Oh, God. Okay. I knew there was something, you motherfucker.
But a yellow one.
Yes, that's why I'm not bleeding from the eyes.
A yellow twig.
A yellow twig. I knew it. It's on the bloody tape. Me just going, what is that? There's something there. As soon as I took a taste, I was like, oh, he's put something in this. But it wasn't horrific. If it was a green chartreuse, I'd be stabbing you in my mouth.
Yeah, there's some yellow chartreuse.
Oh, now it's all I can taste.
Oh, God. Get over it. Then give it here and I'll have it.
Well, there you go. I mean, it is perfectly pleasant. I can taste the twig in it. It's fine.
There's no point if you can't taste the twig.
I know. No, I take this back. I can taste the ingredients. I want to be completely fooled. But that's why it's kind of like, yeah, it's fine to me. As a chartreuse lover, what is your verdict?
It's perfectly pleasant. Is it world-beating? No. Is it a perfectly pleasant cocktail? Yeah, it is. There is some agave in there, so a bit of sweetness. And some grapefruit bitters.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Oh.
Yeah, a bit of grapefruit. And there are some mint leaves in there, which you get shaken up with.
Yeah. We have said this before, that mint in cocktails doesn't really work for us, bizarrely.
I think it can do. I think it very much depends on what it's with. I think mint and rum is classic combination.
What, mojito?
So I don't think you can go wrong with that. But yeah, mint in a lot of other stuff. I'm not a huge fan. Some people put mint with whiskies.
Really?
Yeah, there are a few cocktails that do mint. Not my cup of tea, nor mint with the sort of tequila and mezcal and things like that.
No.
Is not, but some people absolutely love it. Fair enough.
This is fine, but I can taste the twigs with the mint. I can taste it. It's not I'm still going to drink it. I'm not just saying this because now I know it's in it. The second sip and the third sip, I've gone, oh, it's getting stronger. It's getting strong.
Ah, get over it.
All right. Because I'm not going to get another drink, apparently.
No, no.
Let's suffer through it.
It's your only one.
What I'll say about this does have quite a bitter aftertaste. I don't know if you'd agree with it. I think that's quite bitter.
Not something I'm getting personally, but then my general cocktails of preference are generally quite something a bit bitter. So perhaps I just have more used to that.
Yes, you've been dulled.
Yeah, my or taste buds are dulled.
Like it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, exactly. That's just my preference of cocktail. So
yeah,
which a lot of people will get. Oh my god.
Well, that's so, the thing, because it seems to be getting more bitter as I go on with it, whereas the likes of the Negroni get less the more you get drunk, I guess. Oh well, an interesting one.
Yeah.
I definitely think people should try it.
And there's nothing too obscure in there. Well, I suppose yellow chartreuse is not something that everyone's going to have.
By now,
I
mean, people have tried
Strega. You swap it out for your Strega. That could work as well.
Yeah.
If you saw any sort of that sort of twiggy thing.
Yeah, or just a tiny hint of poison. Just, just a little bit. Not full on poison like green chartreuse.
Some sort of green chartreuse
just a little,
if you were feeling fancy.
Bit. Just put that in. Okay, well, the Angel's Draft has graced you with
yes,
a lovely
indeed.
Blown have, behind your ear.
I've been delightfully wafted.
That is the strap line. Whispered in your ear. Me, I've just sort of been walloped over the head and left for dead somewhere. Like, oh, there's no saving you.
But is it that you've been drafted into the army of the angels?
Jesus
Christ. You'll be dead at the end of this. This one's going to kill you. And then...
Or it's just a drink for angels. A draft.
Well, yes. Many, many interpretations.
Many, many interpretations, amongst which is the army of angels drafted for.
The drink is going to kill us, and we are now conscripted into the armies of heaven.
Exactly. No one chose to join the armies of heaven. We were forced to. Oh, it's a wonderful place, heaven. Okay. But with all of that in mind, is it time for a story?
Keep that in mind, because it very much is time for a story.
Okay.
And it's a strange story.
Right.
This is a story of an odd little group with big ideas who operated in LA in the 1920s.
Okay.
And so this is a story of the Divine Order of the Royal Arm of the Great 11.
Right.
Also known just as the Great 11 Club, or later down the line became known as the Blackburn Cult.
It's a cult! Oh, I did wonder for a second if you were going to do Heaven's Gate.
Oh, well, yes, I mean, that did cross my mind for this week.
Well, I think we're due.
Yeah, we're overdue with that one, but no, we're doing something slightly different.
No, great. Cults always welcome.
The rather grandiose Divine Order of the Royal Arm of the Great 11.
Of the Great 11.
Yes.
They just stuck to their numbers, didn't they?
So absolutely. So they've got that. So they took its inspiration, the group took its inspiration from the Book of Revelation.
Where all good inspirations come
from. The final book of the Bible. Mm. So the book about the end of the world. The Book of Revelation was written by John of Patmos. Mm. You familiar with John of Patmos, who received prophetic visions about the end of the world and how it was all to come about?
That's the extent of my knowledge.
All very jolly. Lots of angels, lots of trumpets, lots of serpents, lots of many-headed beasts.
Yes.
All that sorts of
rivers
shenanigans.
Of fire and all that.
As well as two witnesses who will bear witness to the end of mankind.
Okay.
These witnesses have been thought to be many, many different people or things over the centuries. Perhaps they are prophets of old. Thought to be maybe Enoch and Elijah, who have come back to sort of see God's final judgment on mankind. Others believe that the two witnesses actually represent two groups of people.
Two groups of people
who would perhaps survive the apocalypse and then repopulate the world in whatever is left afterwards, or in perhaps these two witnesses are entirely symbolic. Some people think they actually represent the pillars of the church watching over the end of times, type thing. Or maybe, the two prophetic witnesses of the apocalypse are May Blackburn and her daughter Ruth from Iowa.
Ruth was there.
May and Ruth from Iowa.
From Iowa, the holiest of all of the states.
So, yeah, you never know.
Oh my God.
So yeah, so it's a tight run thing between who the witnesses could be.
When you're picturing the witnesses, are you fully picturing some people on a hill while shit is going down, like the fires are burning and the
that's
beast
what I'm thinking,
and
absolutely.
And there's two people just eating an apple.
Yeah, just watching. Perhaps one's got a pair of binoculars. Yeah, someone's taking notes.
Two farmers who were spared for some reason. Like,
got a camping chair set up.
You would.
Thermos tea.
Right, oh, end of the world it is.
Oh, end of the world it is. Oh, got to watch.
Oh, that's Madeline. Oh, no.
So, yeah, perhaps it is May and Ruth.
Maybe it is those two.
Yeah, now May and Ruth are two unsuccessful actresses who have moved to LA, convinced they're going to make it big.
Ooh,
they are going to become stars.
Ooh, that's got Mommy Dearest vibes.
It's not going well.
Mommy, I want to take my own path. No, we're going to LA. Both of us are failing actresses. But I did quite well. Shut up.
By 1922, Ruth, the daughter, is supporting both of them, working as an exotic dancer in the slightly less salubrious parts of the town.
Okay. If it was her choice, then great power to her, but I think
yeah, I don't think options were plentiful at the time for them. But Mother May thinks, well, something has to change. This is not right at all. Something has to change, so she comes up with a plan.
Right.
In 1924, May announced that the angels Gabriel and Michael had appeared to her and her daughter.
Of course.
Angels have given them visitations. They have directed the women to write a book of divine knowledge.
Okay.
That when this book is published, it would give details of the apocalyptic events to come. Mm-hmm. The book was initially was to be called The Seventh Trumpet of Gabriel. This is later changed to The Great Sixth Seal. Mm-hmm. Its publishing would coincide with the biblical opening of the sixth seal, which would unleash various catastrophes and disasters across the world.
Yeah.
So this again relates back to the book of Revelation.
Yes,
in one of John's visions, he sees the Lord on his throne, and he has got this great, it's either a book or a scroll, and it's sealed with seven seals. And each time one of these seals is cracked open, something horrendous happens.
So it's like the seventh seal is meant to be like, oh shit. Yes.
The first four seals release one of the horsemen each. The four horsemen of the apocalypse. That's jolly. When the fifth is cracked open, this is when the gates of heaven would release the souls of all the Christian martyrs. All those who have been persecuted for their Christian beliefs over the centuries, over the thousands of years, their souls would be released into this wailing sort of scream that would echo across the world, terrifying many, many, many people. The sixth seal, and this is when May's book is due to be published.
Oh, good.
Is when the sixth seal is cracked open.
Good she knew.
Yeah, this heralds a nuclear war.
Oh.
This is, war, disaster, the sky turns dark, the moon goes blood red. I mean, all the fun things of an apocalypse, really. So if I were her, maybe look at holding off the publishing for a while. Really. So she's got quite a lot to live up to, really, with the publishing of her great work.
Exactly. So this is shit's going to go down with this book.
Yes. When this book gets published, everything goes to shit.
But then she'll be spared.
But also considering that before that, the four horsemen have been riding amok everywhere.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
Well, we do have famine and pestilence. And,
all the fun things. Mm. They're all having a jolly old time. But she's still there writing away. Alongside all these prophecies that she is due to reveal in this book, she is also going to unveil what are known as the lost measurements. Now, these are universal divine measurements that were handed down by God, some say to Noah when he was building the ark.
We've always wondered how he managed that.
Yeah, absolutely. But these are measurements which are actually more like coordinates, really. They are the locations of huge caches of riches.
Mm-hmm.
Some being gold and gems and rubies and fancy things. Other means natural resources. So like oil and gas or whatever. That are scattered around the globe. So this will be revealed as well. These the locations of these huge caches of natural resources. They publicise happily to the press that this has happened. They have received this divine knowledge. They have received these angelic visitations, have come to them. They are going to publish this book. We're not bullshitting here. This is real. We've got angels in the bedroom. They are...
Come to us at night.
They come to us at night. They tell us these things. We're going to put it in a book. You better take this bloody seriously.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, if you're going to write a book about it, you're going to have to lean into it, aren't you?
And the lean they do, they use their somewhat questionable acting skills, I feel, for this. And they manage to convince a great deal of people that they are on the level. Yeah. They start publishing their beliefs in local newspapers. They take in ads, advertising what they're doing. They often piggyback off other religious groups' claims. There were a huge variety of religious groups at this time claiming all various bits and pieces. They find groups that are either sort of failing or they've made prophecies that haven't come true, and they think, well, that was nonsense. But what they were saying was, that's rubbish. Why are you believing them? I've got the real truth here. What I'm saying is God's word. Angel Gabriel came to me writing a book.
It's ambulance chasing, really, isn't it?
All this. And all the other people going, oh, yeah, because that was shit. That prophecy over there, that was rubbish. You've got some great ones.
They're all sitting in a field with buckets on their heads. And they're like, come with us. It's much easier. Oh, yeah, actually, yeah. That would be great.
I mean, the Seventh-day Adventists, they have proposed this. The end of the world is nigh. And on this date, the end of the world is going to end. Mm-hmm. The world is going to come to an end. It didn't come to an end.
Oh,
the world was still here. And and May and Ruth took that on. Well, that was a load of bollocks. I can tell you the truth.
I mean, we don't have as many people walking around with signs going, well, the end is nigh.
This is true.
Well, maybe we do. Maybe we're just not hearing about them. Yeah. So we're just getting, like, not served that information.
Well, perhaps we're not looking for it, so it's not coming to
And
us.
This is in... This is
the sort of early mid-20s.
Yeah, because the Depression... Yeah, it's starting to kick in, really, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So people are looking for something to believe.
Looking for salvation or looking just to go, oh, it's all going to be wiped up, do over.
Exactly. People are desperate for salvation, and that's exactly what they're offering. And if these other groups are failing in their promises, then she is more than happy to sort of sweep these people up and bring them along with her. And say it works. More and more people think, yeah, okay, I'm having what you're selling. This makes perfect sense to me. Soon there are reporters at their door. And they are more than happy to give interviews to respectable newspapers and things about what they believe in, her in angelic encounters, May cheerfully describes being willingly chained to her bed for months. I don't think literally chained, but sort of chained to her bed for months while details of these books are imparted by her angelic visions.
Right.
So, yes, she can't possibly do anything else. She's far too busy with all these visions and all this knowledge that's been given to her.
Right.
So she's got to write it all down.
She couldn't possibly go out. She was on the sick.
Yeah.
Her daughter was out shaking her thing, like, you bring home the things while I take down these notes.
I'm taking down
angel.
Notes from an angel. Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, she must use that excuse in future.
Yeah.
I can't come out. I'm listening to an angel.
I've got
tell
angelic
me about
visions.
The I've got the visions, people.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm doing it in shorthand really quick. One chap who reads about May's revelations and the secrets that she is supposedly to reveal is a guy called Clifford Dabney. Now, Clifford is the nephew of a local oil magnate, a guy called Joseph Dabney, and he doesn't hesitate to join the cult. Clifford is in there. He is like, right, I like what you're selling. Mm-hmm. You've got some good ideas here. He offers May and Ruth $40,000 in cash.
Yeah.
Here are heavy money. Here is the lease of 164 acres of land just outside LA in an area called Simi Valley. All that Clifford wants in return is that when May does share her angelic knowledge, her information about the lost measurements, these hidden caches of oil and gas. Now, perhaps if he could get a heads up.
Just
let me know when this stuff is, what's going on. Then absolutely, then here, have this cash. It's a business investment for him, really. He's convinced that, she's got the knowledge, she's got the inside scoop. And when she tells me where this hidden stuff is, I am going to be fucking quids in. I can make a fortune. Out of all that.
Oh, God, I'm picturing him attending the Monday morning meeting with his father, who has entrusted his sons and partners. And what investments have you made this week? And he's like, right, Dad,
you're going to love this.
We're quids in with the angels. Right, no one give him any more money.
Yes, yes.
We've talked of this, Clifford.
I mean, May is more than happy with the arrangement, unsurprisingly. Yes, absolutely. The group relocate out to this past land, Simi Valley, and there they build a commune.
Yeah.
And the headquarters of the Divine Order of the Royal Arm of the Great Eleven.
Oh, it never bodes well when you're going out to an isolated area,
does it? You know. We do have to talk about the name. It is suitably grandiose and obscure.
What's that about?
The Divine Order, the Royal Arm of the Great Eleven.
Divine Order, Royal Arm, Great Eleven.
Great Eleven.
There's a lot going on. There's a room after a room.
There's a lot going on there, absolutely. Yeah. And this is what people, at the time, people questioned this. What's with the name? And there was actually an article in the LA Times from 1925 where people said, what's with the name? What's going on here? And this was an interview with May and Ruth.
I like it.
And they responded. They explained exactly where this name comes from and why it is. So in one of May's angelic visions, they had been shown a spot just outside Bakersfield, which is just north of LA.
Okay.
Just below the surface in this town, there had been shown huge stores. There was gold, precious stones, all this stuff buried just beneath the ground. Mm-hmm. They were told that once this book was published, all these riches would be theirs. With the publishing of the book and supposedly the breaking of the sixth seal, the world's days from that point are numbered. Uh-huh. This is the end. This is very much nigh at this point. Christ is on his way. It's all soon to be over. But what comes next? What comes after the apocalypse? After the world has been apocalypsed.
Apocalypse.
Who is going to rule over this new era of enlightenment? Of wealth and splendour and wonder and Christliness? Who's going to do all that? The eternal royal family. That's who.
Okay.
The new royal family.
What?
11 queens. Of which May and Ruth were two, of course.
Of course.
Would rule from 11 marble palaces that would be built in Hollywood.
Of course.
The angel Gabriel will select 11 men to rule alongside their queens. So 11 queens, two of which being Ruth and May, 11 men to go along.
Great football team.
And yeah, this group is going to rule the world for the rest of time. So these are the Great 11.
Ah.
This is the royal, these, yeah. So the royal arm of the Great 11 are their minions. Are their disciples. They're people who are going to take their word into the new world and carry out their commandments.
So the righteous who remain.
The righteous who remain, who supported them, they are going to be the royal arm of this Great 11 who are now the ruling elite for the rest of the world.
Okay. I mean, I have many questions. But
does that make perfect sense?
In Hollywood.
Yes. Yes.
Does she still think there's going to be a film industry? Because of all of the texts.
Yeah.
Hollywood, not so much of a holy site.
Well, not now, but to
soon,
come. But soon.
But soon.
It will be the centre, like Jerusalem was. Soon Hollywood would be the
Hollywood
new Jerusalem.
You could go abroad and maybe go to
spread the gene pool out of it, spread it out a bit and mix it up a bit, but no. Hollywood. Hollywood is the place to go.
Wouldn't it be great if it was like Bangor or something like that?
Ramsgate. Marble palaces of Ramsgate.
Marble palaces of Ramsgate. As far as the eye can see.
Oh, look, they've all stabbed each other.
Do you want chips with them? Love it. Hollywood.
Yeah.
The weather is lovely.
Exactly. The weather is delightful. So, yeah, they're having a grand old time ruling the world from their marble palaces. Now, at the commune, this hasn't happened yet. No marble palaces just yet. That's all to come, but soon. But at the moment, they were still at the commune. So there, May and Ruth style themselves as queens and high priestesses.
Lovely.
They are queens, high priestesses. And people are fully on board with this whole thing.
Mm.
They absolutely. This small community is called Harmony Hamlet by the press. Because it's so divine and lovely and everyone has such a jolly time there.
Snuggly.
Snuggly. Snuggly is exactly the word. Snuggly is precisely the word.
Everyone's happy.
The first thing that they construct on the property is a temple, which features an elaborate gilded throne that is reserved for Christ's return.
Oh.
So when he comes back, he's going to be a bit knackered. He's got a lot of demons to get through and what have you. He needs a nice sit down. So there we go. We have a nice gilded throne for the Christ when he returns. Members living at the property, they are instructed, unsurprisingly, to hand over all their money, all their possessions must be handed over to the group. Writing a book for God and spreading the message does not come cheap. These are not cheap activities. And if you want to be part of the end of the world, you have to pay your way. You have to pay. And if you want to survive the end of the world, you've got to pay.
Your holiness, your goodness, all the good that you have done, and also cash.
Cash. It's mainly cash. About the cash.
Mainly about the cash.
Mainly about the cash.
Also, there are riches just in caches. Caches? Would you say caches or caches?
Caches.
Caches. Caches all over America and around the world.
Around the world.
Who put them there?
Oh, no. These have been left by divine beings. They've been there for thousands and thousands of years.
And why do divine beings need gold and gems?
Because they like burying things.
I just wanted to work out the process. That was it. They bloody love to bury treasure. Just,
angels love burying
shit. Were they all terriers? With magpies. Good. As long as I know. That's
Stop questioning it. Don't question.
I just needed to have the logic laid out, and I'm fully on board.
Good. I'm glad.
Okay.
Those are the group who aren't able to pay their monthly dues. They work at a local tomato factory.
Oh, okay.
So yep. So there's just around the corner, tomato factory.
The holiest
of fruits. Their pay goes straight to May and Ruth.
Yeah. Okay,
doesn't even touch the worker, straight into the pockets of the cult leaders.
But I'm going to assume, in a way we've touched on with other cults before, segregated from society, where they're cut off, there's an innocence and a kind of, from their perspective, you know, I'm giving my wages, but I live in this harmonious society. Everything is provided for. I am with like-minded people. It is kind. It is full of love. I have no need for this money.
Exactly. Everything they need is provided for. They've got accommodation. Yeah. They've got food. Yep.
No responsibilities, no worries, no stresses.
So why do they need the money? Not? Fair why enough. Not? They have to earn their keep. They have to pay for their keep somehow.
And that's the thing. Is so...
So tomatoes.
It's... But it's so easy. A lot of people are probably going, like, oh, yeah, I should take the responsibility away. That's fine. It's like, that's how it starts.
Absolutely. There are many, many others also who are perhaps not ready to make the full-time commitment to moving into the sort of the compound. Those people, they can pay a small membership fee. Mm-hmm. They can come and listen to the women's sermons, their teachings, their prophesizings of the end of the world, all the incredible knowledge that was being revealed in their angelic correspondences. They can come hear about all that. If you want to know exactly what incredible knowledge, that's $100, please. That's my money. And you need to be a slightly higher tier to get the details, really.
Absolutely.
You need to be, yes. So that's a bit more cash.
You need to be platinum level.
Platinum level, need a disciple for that one, absolutely. In the evenings, the robed members, they gather for rituals. There seems to be like a natural amphitheatre in this valley that's sort of been created. And they're big into the animal sacrifice.
Oh, come on now.
They are big into the animal sacrifice. Mules, sort of donkeys. They're into that. Also, there is talk about dogs.
Oh, for
dogs
God.
And things. So they're big into the animal sacrifice. Well, we're not entirely sure whether to appease the angels. Well, then, I mean, if you read through some of the biblical stuff, angels, they're not fun bastards.
No. Angels are terrifying. People were terrified and screaming and exactly. Oh my God, they're horrible.
So,
I know there's a lot of animal sacrifice in biblical times.
Yeah.
But it's just, why?
This is why, Sears. So they do partake in a lot of sort of animal sacrifices. Mules seem to be a particular favourite. There's a lot of naked dancing going on.
That we can look up
which is
with.
All good fun. Whatever May and Ruth say, it doesn't matter how crazy it seems, it's all, just go for it. Why the hell not? After all, it's what the angels have instructed. It is what the angels have given to our dear leaders. It seems a bit weird, but okay. Let's go with it. If we don't get it right, then we don't get the next part of the book.
No.
And then the great plan is being delayed. And then God will be angry. And it's all your fault.
Well, yeah. Cult mentality. It's all like, make people do something that's humiliating. Mm. Make them do something that they can't back away from. And they're like, okay, you're deeply entrenched. Not only do we give you the good stuff, but also here's all the bad stuff that you're going to do. And if you don't do it, then the Lord... You know, we'll be disappointed, but also look at the shameful things you've done. If you return to in the eyes of normal society, in the commune, it's fine, but you can't really go back.
Yeah, absolutely. And then all these people animals. Around you going, if you don't do this, oh, everyone else has done this. Yeah. If you don't do this, then this whole thing fails and it's your fault. during one of their nighttime gatherings, rituals, it was announced that one of the cult members, a woman, Florence Turner, had been taken poorly. Don't know exactly what with. It doesn't seem anything overly serious. So from some of the descriptions, it just seems like a nasty flu or something. She's just been taken, a bit poorly. Probably nothing that a few nights rest couldn't cure. But no, she was going to be cured by angelic instruction.
Okay.
They have received instruction from the angels about
what
is best to do for dear old Florence. So Florence is not overly keen on what this is sounding like, but no. All this coughing and spluttering is taking away from the harmony of the group. It's very distracting to prayer and be faithful if you've got someone coughing up their lungs in the next room. So I think so.
Not
none
quite
of
the
that.
Angel's draft.
It has been revealed that the best way to cure the ailing woman would be to construct a brick oven.
What?
An outdoor sort of brick fired oven. So build a fire in the oven, let it come up to the temperature, let it cool down a bit. When we're not mad people here, after all. So let it cool down a bit. Florence is then placed inside the oven.
Christ.
And cured of all her ailments.
From death?
Yes.
What? Was she, though? Did she come out in crispy?
Yes, the cure is not so successful. And Florence dies two days later.
Jesus. They put her in a kiln.
They put her in an oven. Yeah.
That's something where they thought, you know what, I think will help. Put her in a nice hot, dry area.
Nice,
that'll
dry.
That'll clear out the lungs. Not so much. No.
No, that was a bit too hot. Yeah. Oh, and it's not going to be the last death linked to the Great 11. Want a drink?
I think we need another drink.
Another drink after all that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to BOLLandBranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Nick, we have our drinks.
We do.
We have the world's largest Negroni.
Yes.
Because I messed up the measurements. Well, you said use up the rest of the Campari, and by God, I did.
Yes, you did.
And I have a nice, sensible G&T.
Marvellous.
Now I carry on reading words.
Okay.
But, yeah, this is not feeling good, this cult. I don't like it. I don't like it. It's not going to end well, I sense.
Yeah. So we say we're having...
They put a woman in an oven.
They did put a woman in an oven.
It's become a grim fairy tale.
Yeah, the Great 11, they're having an interesting time. In 1924, a chap called Sam Rizzio joins the group. Mm-hmm. Now, he has become slightly besotted with High Priestess Ruth, the daughter. He hangs on her every word, really. Quite obsessed. She persuades Sam to join up the group, and he does so, and their relationship sort of flourishes. Mm-hmm. And in May of that year, their pair are married. So only 5 months or so after their first meeting, Sam moves up to Harmony Hamlet, and he soon realises what a devoted following his wife and mother-in-law actually have. I'm sure he was aware that Ruth claimed to be a biblical prophet,
mm-hmm.
but I think he was surprised about how fervent and how perhaps how many followers they actually had.
Maybe when he's there day-to-day?
He's there day-to-day. I don't think he's been up to the commune before, by the sounds of it. So he's met her sort of in LA and things like that, where they've still got a home, and it's been very nice and very jolly. But he's actually now living there full-time.
Yeah, and he's assimilated
amongst
into,
all these people who think his wife is almost...
A divine being.
Is divine, indeed. And I think he slightly struggles with that. Being husband of the future ruler of the world probably does have its upsides.
Yes. But also, where's my dinner?
You're definitely playing second fiddle.
Yeah. Ooh, the delicate male ego.
In that, well, exactly, in that relationship. And I'd say that does not sit too well with Sam.
Yeah,
20s male ego. Is a delicate thing.
Yeah, it's nice that you put the 20s in front of that.
I know. I'm trying to.
It was a lot worse.
It was worse then than it is now, but still,
a little. Yeah.
Still not ideal.
But yes, I know that you are the divine being, and then you are going to lead us to a new dawn of enlightenment and beauty. But have you done my socks?
Yes. Where's my dinner? Why is my Negroni quite so large?
Finishes her sermon, he just congratulates her with a firm open palm slap on the ass. There you go, babe.
Yeah. I mean depressingly, this is exactly what happens. He thinks he's supposed to be the man. He's supposed to be the one in charge in this relationship. He tries to persuade Ruth to leave. No, come away with me, you don't need any of this nonsense. Come and be a good wife, a good mother to the family that they're going to have. Be exactly what society expects of you at this time, not a divine prophetess.
Yeah, I know you have the future of mankind in the palm of your hand, but would you like to come and live with me in a sort of two-up-two-down?
Yeah, in a nice little suburban thing. And
cook me a roast every now and then.
Exactly,
When I say every now and then, I mean twice a day. How does that sound,
How does
baby?
That sound? Doesn't that sound fun?
Oh, yeah.
Now, frequently, these arguments turn into full-blown screaming matches between the pair of them. She is not going to give up this life. Why the fuck should she? She's got a good thing going.
Fair.
Here, you knew what you were getting into, just because now you don't like it. I'm sorry.
I mean, we've gone very much down that route, and I don't think it's right. However, there is another side of the story that he's gone, you killed a woman by putting her in an oven, and you're killing donkeys every day. Please, can we leave?
Yeah.
And I'm going, no, I'm a divine right. Maybe he is the voice of reason.
So perhaps there is some balance in there somewhere. You can't be seen entirely one or the other.
Okay, the donkey meat is one thing, but roasting people...
One of these altercations does turn violent, and Sam strikes Ruth. He does hit her. Now this is with enough strength to draw blood and actually knock her to the ground. Now this is witnessed by many of the followers of the group, and instantly the members form a wall between their high priestess and Sam.
Fair.
They are there to guard with their lives. Sam leaves the room. He walks off.
Okay.
Sam is never heard seen again.
Right.
He disappears.
Disappears.
He disappears. A note is written to Sam's mother that says he is now a high priest, invisible to less spiritual eyes.
I've killed him. Where did this story of the wall come from and him walking out? Is that what they just say later on?
Yes, well, that comes out later on. So presumably from one of the followers.
They her passively.
Yeah, exactly. They say with the witness that, this man has struck their leader.
Or,
and instantly they're there shoulder to shoulder creating this wall. You will not do anything to harm.
Or did they tear him apart?
Never seen again.
Never seen again?
Mm-hmm. Never seen again.
Doesn't seem like them.
Mm-hmm. So, did one or more of them take it upon themselves to go, right, now you've done this, you hit the prophetess, how fucking dare you, and have taken it upon themselves
divine
retribution to do this? Did Ruth command it? who knows? Sam's younger brother, a chap called Frank, now he is... unsurprisingly suspicious about his brother's disappearance and decides to do a bit of snooping of his own. He infiltrates the Great Eleven. He actually persuades May to hire him as a chauffeur.
Mm.
Now, she doesn't know of the relationship that, yeah, Frank is Sam's brother. Mm-hmm. He's using a pseudonym at this point. But now he has sort of like unfettered access into the commune. He can pretty much go where he wants to go. And quite quickly, he discovers all his brother's possessions mm-hmm. packed up in two suitcases in one of the rooms. So not if he was just hanging around, if his shirts are in the wardrobe, whatever.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
Everything he owned is neatly packed away. He confronts May with this, and she simply says, well, he'll be returning soon for the rest of his belongings. He's gone off.
Okay.
What more can he do? He threatens to go to the police with his suspicions, what he thinks he's found. Mm. But the Rizzio family have had their own run-ins with the police as well in the past. Sam, the chap who's gone missing, he was in juvenile detention for forging checks.
Mm.
Their father was the prime suspect of a triple homicide in Chicago. So this it's not a family that perhaps the police are going to pay a huge amount of attention to or credence to what they say because of their reputation. So they're thinking there's no evidence.
No,
so
there's no evidence of anything. He's disappeared. Well, your family do that.
Yeah. So the Rizzio family, they sort of back off.
Okay.
And what happens to Sam is still a mystery. We do not know.
Isn't that creepy?
Ruth and May sit down to focus on the book. The angelic visions are coming thick and fast. They're just not enough hours in the day to get everything down on paper. Their followers plead with their queens to let us help. Okay, we can't see the angelic visions ourselves. Absolutely, that's for you. Yeah. But dictate things. We can write it down.
At this stage, I'm getting fecked off with them as well. Like, there's the same spiel that they're going, no, we need to write this big book. I'm pissed off now. If you've been living there for ages and giving them their salary, it's like, for God's sake, you know, delegate, bitch.
Yeah, exactly. But no, the pair are adamant that it can only come from them, it has to be from their
control.
Which does prove to be a bit of a shame because they turn out to be horror writers. there are a couple of people who actually claim to have seen a draft of the Sixth Seal. They're sort of the notes that they had put down. One of them called it the most astounding, bewildering hodgepodge of biblical and mythological nonsense.
Or was it the words of God spewed forth?
Exactly.
In tongues?
Or was it just you are just too close-minded to understand the word of God, the word of the angels? Dear. The book is taking longer and longer to complete, but there's always an excuse. There's always an excuse. The angels, well, they have an extra chapter.
There's a bit more coming.
They've been forced to rewrite entire sections as their own understanding of these things has grown as they've gone through the process. What they thought they understood back in chapter one, no, that's nonsense. It doesn't mean that at all. It means something completely different. We've got to go and rewrite it all. So
they learned nothing from the Bible. You have a series of books, an Old Testament, New Testament, where they went, okay, that was all bollocks, sorry.
Yeah, it takes a long time. Christmas 1924, 16-year-old cult member Wyla Rhodes, who lives at the commune, she is taken desperately ill.
Mm.
A tooth has become infected and the infection has spread into her jaw and the surrounding area. William and Martha, the girl's parents, are desperate to go for help.
Mm-hmm.
Find a doctor. A simple course of antibiotics would cure all of this. But no, May and Ruth are convinced. And they convince the membership that this is a test. If they prayed hard enough, if they are true in their belief, if they are true in their faith, then Wheeler is going to recover.
Oh, God.
Wheeler does not recover. Nice. And on New Year's Day 1925, she does die. While comforting her grieving parents, May assures them that Wheeler is going to be resurrected back to life. She is declared a high priestess and named the Tree of Life. She is given the name, the Tree of Life. The angels have promised. The group's faith must have been lacking initially for the girl to have succumbed to her illness. But the angels have said, after 1,260 days, she is going to be resurrected. The long-awaited book will be published at the same time. All going to happen in 1,260 days. their daughter will be returned to them.
Well, how many years is that? Three and a half years.
This is 3.5 years to wait. But ever faithful, her parents go along with it.
Oh, my God.
They agree to wait. The only thing now is how to preserve Wheeler for the next 3.5 years for her resurrection. No one wants to be resurrected as a living skeleton.
They'd rather not.
No, indeed. So we need to preserve her body as best we can in preparation for her second coming, as it were. They place...
This is horrible. This is horrible. This is just not nice. Like, it's desperation also on the... You can hear
completely.
It in the part of the leaders of, like, three... We have to fucking make up an arbitrary number to say she's going to be resurrected to keep you guys on side while we fucking figure this shit out.
Yeah.
And your child is dead because you didn't get her some antibiotics.
Fucking antibiotics.
Get the help. Okay, right. So how are they going to preserve the body?
Yeah.
Because God forbid that literally that they could bury her and have some closure.
Yeah, they place her body in a bathtub filled with ice. Ice, spices and salt.
Spices.
They keep her there for 14 months.
Christ.
There are weekly deliveries of ice
okay.
to the compound.
Okay.
And the girl is, she's treated like a saint. She is revered in sort of prayers and ceremonies and such. After these 14 months, William and Martha, the parents, decide to move away from the commune. They still strongly believe in the resurrection of her daughter,
yeah.
but for whatever reason, they don't want to do it there. They move 4 times, each travelling with their daughter's frozen remains, before they eventually settle in a house in the Venice neighbourhood of LA. There, the father, William, installs a metal-lined coffin in the floor of the house. It has a trapdoor so that the parents can visit and Wyla can get out when such time comes. Again, this metal-lined coffin is filled with ice and salt and spices. In a smaller casket, just to the side, they bury the sacrificed bodies of 7 puppies.
Fuck, no, okay, no. Sorry that I had such a visceral reaction to the puppies. Compared to the child, because the child is terrible. It's
I thought
no,
you would.
No, none of that. No.
Yeah.
Why? Why?
The 7 puppies said to represent the 7 notes of the angel Gabriel's trumpet that will sound on Wayla's resurrection.
Those puppies got a raw deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
What? Mm. That's bollocks. It's bollocks on so many levels.
So much bollocks. So much bollocks. As the time approaches for Wyla's return, there are no great trumpet fanfares are coming. Give it a few days. These things don't, they're not always exact. It's not a science, this resurrection malarkey. Still no resurrection. Not only no resurrection, but also no book. No grand prophecy.
None of it's come out.
Yeah, no lost measurements. No measurements identifying the locations of these hidden caches of treasures and riches.
Yeah.
Now, this time, no matter what spin May puts on it, people are getting pissed off.
Yeah.
People are getting really pissed off that yet another promise
has been broken,
has come to nothing. Clifford Dabney, the one who initially gave the $40,000, gave the land, he's had enough.
Yeah.
He's had enough. He completely disavowed all of May's supposed prophecies. Where were these riches? To him, this had been an investment. He had given this money, he had given this land on the promise that he would get the locations of these treasures.
Yeah, his father is furious.
Yeah, exactly. And none of this is there. Clifford and several other members of the group, including May's 6th husband, who is a member of the group,
sixth husband.
She's worked through,
nice.
Filed charges of fraud and theft against May and Ruth.
Go for it.
Claiming that the pair have made off with over $200,000 over the years, which is around about $3 million today, in today's money. This is how much they have stolen, swindled out of people. Now, as this news gets out into the press that they are being charged with these accusations, of course, the rumour and the gossip mill around the cult starts to grow. The allegations of these unreported deaths start to come out from old cult members and things like that. Sam Rizzio, who the one who had vanished off the face of the earth. Florence Turner, who would end up in an oven.
Yeah.
And Mr. and Mrs. Rose, you had a daughter once. What happened to your daughter?
No, she's fine. She's
here. She's absolutely fine. The police uncover the remains of Wheeler Rose under the floorboards in her parents' house in Venice. Now, it was determined that Willa indeed had died of natural causes. She had died of the infection. So it may well have been neglect, but there was certainly no murder,
no foul play
yeah, in that regard or anything like that. And what they did to her remains afterwards, though certainly bizarre, was not illegal for them to dispose of their daughter's remains in the way they felt was best for their religious practices. Okay. So yes, there may have been a charge of neglect because a doctor wasn't summoned, but no murder, nothing, anything like that. And they are unable to find any viable evidence around the other disappearances either. The police can do nothing about any of this. Mm. In 1930, Ruth and May are charged with grand theft. That's all they can get them on.
Okay.
Really.
Fair enough.
The charges against Ruth are dropped. Against the daughter.
Huh?
It's all the mother's idea. It was all the mother's crazy
plan. What did Ruth say?
Unfortunately, we don't know what Ruth said at trial to persuade everyone that she was entirely
innocent. Oh, no, it was Mummy who made me do it.
Yes, Mummy made me do it. But May, much to her surprise, as she was quite convinced that the angel Gabriel had appeared in court and told her that she was going to be acquitted,
right.
She was in fact not acquitted.
No.
And she was sentenced to a minimum of 8 years in prison.
Lovely.
For this. She goes on to appeal her sentence.
Yeah.
Her lawyers claim that stories of Sam and Wheeler had been improperly admitted into court in an effect to frighten the jury.
Yeah.
They had nothing to do with the grand theft charges.
No, yeah.
On there.
You can't admit
that. But the prosecution had. And the Supreme Court agreed that that was not acceptable. To be admitted into evidence. The court said this is a free country where there is freedom of religious worship, and it is not actionable to the court if the defendant made certain representations as to being divine.
Yes.
Yes. So
yes.
She is released a year later, 1931. The Great 11, it continues to exist for a little bit.
Okay.
For...
I think we're going to say today.
No. For a very, very, very short time. But the publicity and the scandal.
Yeah.
Anyone who was there has departed, wants nothing more to do with the stories, and it does fizzle out. May dies in LA in 1951.
Yeah.
Ruth leaves the area shortly after, and we actually don't know what became of her.
Really?
She died at some point, whether she changed her name, just moved away to get away from the whole scandal of what she had been involved in. You know, that is the story of the Divine Order of the Royal Arms of the Great 11.
Oh my God.
Which is a bit mad.
That is mad. That is a great cult
story.
Told you
it was mad.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you warned me beforehand. That's a great cult story, though. That's good. There were crimes. The stuff happened.
Yeah.
Was there a murder in their midst? Oh, wow. Just, I never get tired of hearing about cults.
Yeah.
And it's so sad in so many ways. It's so sad. It's so bizarre. And yeah, we've talked about this so many times. Every single time we cover a cult story, we're like, but why would you do this? Why would you believe such nonsense? Because saying it in a really compressed way right now makes it sound like they turned up and they went, we're the divine presence on earth of Gabriel. Okay, fine. His trumpets are coming. Obviously, it's not like that.
No,
it's played out over years, and it's a lot of coercion, and it's a lot of subtlety, a lot of, you know, love bombing, and also really horrible, horrible abusive behaviour. But so many people believed it.
Mm.
And it's just the power of belief, isn't it? Believing in something.
And so at the height, there were supposedly around 300 members at the group's, group's height.
Which isn't a lot.
Not a lot, but it's certainly sufficient. And certainly they didn't all live on the compound. There were people who were there who would come in for sermons and services and what have you, and then go back to LA and surrounding cities.
Through that story, and again, you're telling me a compressed version, I'd just be fecked off with the two of them. Like, where is the book? Where are the special teachings, and where's the big news, and where are all these, you know, caches of these
lost measurements? And
I would be questioning stuff and go, but who put them there? And they'd be like, the divine angels. What were they doing with a load of riches? What were they doing with all that stuff? Where did they get it from specifically? That's what I'd be asking.
Who did they thieve it from?
I'd probably be there ready to believe, but I'm just very annoying.
I want details.
I'm obsessed with details. I'd be like, but I need to know this. I'd still be standing there at the end going, no, I'd be happy to, but it doesn't make sense. I don't know. Oh, it's crazy. Do you think they killed anyone? What do you think?
I don't. It's difficult. I think something happened with Sam.
Yeah. It feels like something did.
Something happened with Sam. Whether that was a sanctioned sort of cult decided, right, he's got to go type thing, or a member took it upon themselves to perhaps get rid of someone who they saw has physically attacked someone who I believe to be divine.
Yeah.
And then took it upon themselves to, take that out of the picture. Yeah. Who knows? So I think Sam probably came to a sticky end.
Yeah. I don't know whether it was premeditated in that way, but if he's being abusive, you can imagine that if a group of people just attacked him.
Yeah, attacked absolutely. It could well have been that. Yeah. So the story came out later that, yes, this group of people formed a wall around their priestess.
Which is a strange way of saying
that. To protect her. And that could well have been a story that was put together. No, actually, we ripped them to pieces.
Yeah.
but the group story, sort of the group narrative, was, no, we stood there and protected.
It's born from somewhere, isn't it? It's born from somewhere that they had, they for some reason, stuck with this group kind of all protecting her. It's a very strange thing.
So, yeah.
Isn't it?
So, yeah. I'm sure, Florence, who ended up in the oven. Again, it may well be that, she would have died from her illness. I'm sure it probably didn't help being put in a hot oven, being baked.
Well, I mean, that smacks of ignorance.
Completely.
Of ignorance, because there are methods in certain cultures as well where you go into a hothouse. You know, it's like
absolutely
saunas or
whatever.
You know, it's a version of that, but there's other ones where you go into a hothouse and you are, you know, with heat and you sweat the infection
out. Yes, exactly. But so what I mean is, was it a malicious, we're going to kill you,
type
thing? Or was it just, we've got this really stupid idea because we hear saunas are really good.
I think it's the latter.
And just don't understand that what we're doing is actually really stupid. So I think it's probably more that than Machiavellian sort of, we want to kill this woman type thing.
Yeah, I wasn't buying that they'd intentionally done that.
No,
I don't think
it was done as a sacrifice. I think it was done out of stupidity.
They do all come across as pretty freaking stupid.
Yeah.
Really stupid. That they did not think a lot of this through. They had some great performance art, but they didn't think it through. And shit happened as a result of it. But what a great story of a little cult. Well, what do you think, people? What do you think of the story of the divine... which order does it go in? The divine right... No. What do you think of the 11? The 11?
They're the great 11.
The great 11. The great 11. This...
The divine order of the royal arm of the great 11.
What do you think of this cult? What do you think of this group of people? What do you think happened to the people? Of the deaths that were laid at their door, do you think they were all accidental? Do you think there was something more sinister going on? What do you think of the divine prophecies as well? Are there secret treasures hidden around in very accessible places that their location will be revealed at some point?
I'm intrigued about if this one is a known one in that sort of Moloko. So anyone who is in around LA, California,
we do have a few
out
fans
there. Yeah, is this something that you have heard of locally? Because it certainly was completely new to me.
Yeah.
And when I discovered it, I was like, I've never heard of this before. It's mad. But is it something that is common knowledge around your way?
Have you seen some marble palaces
popping
up around Hollywood? Because that's the place to be, apparently. Tell us what you think. Jump on the comments of this episode. Tell us your thoughts, your theories, your feelings on this. What do you think about cults? Are there more stories of cults that we could be covering? If you're interested in the psychology behind cults, because coincidentally, we have just released the Jonestown episode, as we said earlier, we did a special episode on Patreon with our expert witness, Rowana Bond, who's a good friend of ours, but a very, very talented and accomplished psychologist, where we talked about the psychology behind cults. It was a great episode. Emma from Real Life Ghost Stories joined us. Ro gave great insight that I still think about every single time I think of cults. You know, it really changed the perspective from a lot of ways. And we also talked about how we would play out in cults as well, each of us. Please consider listening to that episode. It is on Patreon, so it's behind the paywall. But if you join for this month and listen to that one, then it's 1 month. It's absolutely flexible. You can do that. But while you're doing all of this, you know, mix up the Angel's Draft.
The Angel's Draft, indeed.
Why not, indeed?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Is it perhaps Gabriel and his trumpet?
Blow, Gabriel, blow.
Sorry. Yeah, so but perhaps it's that as well.
I don't know. I think there's lots of drafts.
We've covered a lot of drafts.
I love that you just went, there's a draft in the room.
No, it wasn't just a draft in the room.
Please, explain it more. That'll make it more plausible, Nick.
Shut up.
It was
I thought it was fine. It was perfectly drinkable, perfectly pleasant. Would I rush out to have another one? No. But if I got one in a bar, would I be upset? No.
Yeah, that's a good marker, isn't it? Like, the last one we had before, if we had that in a bar, we'd be sending it
You'd
back.
Be going, this is shit.
It's too disappointing. It's no.
But that would be that perfectly pleasant to drink.
Perfectly pleasant.
I wouldn't have a second.
If you want to ease your way into chartreuse, you can try that rather than being smacked in the face with it with the other chartreuse.
Nice and subtle and, perfectly pleasant.
Lime
so the recipe will be out on Friday. Mm-hmm. So do give it a go if you can. If you don't fancy, let us know what you are drinking instead. I'm always intrigued about what other cocktails people are drinking.
Keep sending us suggestions of more episodes that we can be covering in the future, whether they are cult related, whether they are modern, whether they're way, way old. And keep sending us suggestions of stories we can cover for episode 200. There's been some really, really good suggestions. A lot of people leaning towards a retrospective chat.
I'm liking that idea. I hadn't considered that as an option.
It's a really nice one. If people are on board with that, a lot of people have suggested that, so that's what we're leaning towards. We have an opener, though, for season 5 that we need to think about, too. So whether it's cases, whether it's retrospectives, please tell us what you think and what you would like to hear from us, because it's not long until it all starts.
It's going to come around pretty damn quick.
Thanks for listening, guys. We have been the people inside the poisoner's cabinet. We will see you next week. And remember, your loved ones are trying to kill you.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.